So we're taking these services to tell about the Christ. And I understand that the first time that you hear someone say, well, I want to tell you about the Christ, that it's kind of confusing, because we've believed in Jesus Christ ever since we were saved. Praise the Lord. We believe in Jesus Christ. But something that has maybe been overlooked is that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ. And I began to notice sometime the latter part of last year the words of Peter in Matthew 16 and 16, where Jesus was asking them, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'd always considered, as is generally accepted, that the revelation that Peter had was that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's true, but that's only half of the revelation that he received. Because he didn't say, thou art the Son of God. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then I noticed, if you read on through that, Jesus tells him, well, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom, and so forth and so on. And then he says, see to it that you tell no man that I am Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
And we went through this yesterday morning, but we're doing it again today, because today I'm going to go back to the Old Testament record that God gave of the Christ. Yesterday's service, we went back to the record that God gave in the Old Testament of His Son, the Son of God, and what He would be and what He would do. And it's important to know those things. For example, and this was what we went covered, the Son of God is the seed of the woman that's prophesied in the third chapter of Genesis, the first day that sin entered. God told the serpent, I put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. And literally what God said, her seed, the woman's seed, will bruise your head. And we went through the prophecies in Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. But when a virgin conceives, that's the seed of the woman. But when she doesn't conceive of a man, she conceives of the Holy Ghost, that's the Son of God. So the seed of the woman is the Son of God, who was manifested to take away our sins, that for this cause the Son of God was manifested to, that He should destroy the works of the devil. And it's fulfilled at Calvary that the Son of God, the seed of the woman, bruised the head of the serpent, and He did it at the cross. It's not something that He has to come a second time to do. He's coming a second time. I don't want anybody to ever think that Brother Serpius doesn't believe that He's coming a second time. He is coming a second time. Praise God. But the victory was won the first time. He's not coming to win the victory. Praise God. He's coming victorious. You read the book of Revelation, and in all the New Testament until the book of Revelation, I think the word lamb is only used about four times. In the book of Revelation, it's used 27 times. It's always the victory of the Lamb. The victory of the Lamb. Go look up that word Lamb. Praise God. You know, that they made war against the Lamb, and the Lamb overcame them because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's always the victory of the Lamb that is enforced at the end of the age, but that was won at the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. But coming back to the Christ, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we can go through with Martha and with the 12 in the 6th chapter of John, when all the multitudes left Jesus in the 6th chapter of John, and even many of His disciples turned away and left Him because they didn't believe. There were disciples that didn't believe. But what they didn't believe was, they did not believe that He was the Christ. That's what they didn't believe. And that's shown later on in that same text. He turned to the 12. He said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go?" He said, "Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so there were disciples that were following Him that believed He was a prophet. They believed that He was a miracle worker. They believed that He was a healer. They believed that He was doing good and being a great blessing to the people. But they did not believe that He was the Christ. And when He began to clearly express Himself in the 6th chapter of John, He said, "I'm the bread from heaven. Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. I am the bread of heaven. I am He that came down from heaven. Eat of Me and live. Eat My flesh, drink My blood, you shall have life." They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can receive?" The disciples said that. I don't know if it's the 70 or beyond the 70, but so many disciples turned away because they did not believe that He was the Christ that was prophesied to come to Israel. They did not believe that. That He turned to the 12. They said, "But where could we go? Where could we go? Because You have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ. The Christ. The Son of the living God." This matter of understanding the Christ is such that John says in 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." The church is filled with people today that say, "Well, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can't miss heaven." Have you ever heard that? Of course you've heard that. As long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, sin doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they say, you can't miss heaven. I wrote about it in a scenario in my January publication, the large ministry, that said that as long as your faith is grounded in the cross, they said, that you could be in the act of adultery when the trumpet sounded and God would take you to be with Him. You'd accept Him as long as your faith is grounded in the cross. How perverted can we become in the Word of God to believe such a thing, to accept such a thing? How, it's a total contradiction, brother, that your faith could be grounded in the cross of Christ and be in the bed of adultery at the same time. It's an impossibility. But the idea that, well, as long as I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I've got it made. But He did say, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And that's an absolute statement. I could go, as again I did yesterday, into other things that John said about those that are born of God. If you know that He is righteous, 1 John 2:28-29. If you know that He is righteous, then you know that whosoever doeth righteousness is born of God. And their righteousness does not define God, but God defines what righteousness is. The next chapter, He says, "He that doeth righteousness as He is righteous." Praise God, they are born of God. They are the children of God. The 4th chapter, He says, "God is love. Whosoever loveth is born of God." But again, love does not define God, but God defines what love is. That's the reason He said, "Whosoever loveth with the love that God is." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are born of God. And you don't have to tell them how to live, how, what not to do, what they have to do, because they're born of God. They are born of God. They're born again of an incorruptible seed. Praise God, by the Word of God. Hallelujah. We really miss the mark a lot of times in thinking that we have to take the children of God and tell them what they can do, what they can't do, what they ought to be, what they shouldn't be. And we give hope to people that's never been born of God that if I can correct these few little things in my life, then God will accept me. But Jesus said, you must be born again.